It has been an extremely useful session, although, as you said, a bit longer than scheduled. But I'm happy I could stay with you all, not least to listen to your experiences and to listen a bit more how Aid for Trade is working for your countries. And also listening to suggestions on the way forward, which I will try to recap at the end of these short remarks. I was struck in the sessions which I attended, and Valentine debriefed me together with her team on the sessions I could not attend, on one key aspect, which is that how helpful this sort of event is to bring trade practitioners and development professionals closer to jointly move the Aid for Trade initiative. And among the things which I think have happened since 2005 is certainly a closer dialogue, a better knowledge, sometimes a real friendship, which might not have been there before, between trade people and development people. And I think this is very important, and I was really struck again this time. Now, more generally speaking, I think UNSG got it perfectly right yesterday morning when he said that building trade capacity is essential because trade can and must be part of our efforts to stimulate a recovery. That's one sentence which I think sums up perfectly well the context in which we've been operating during this today. And as one of you also said today, I think Aid for Trade is now firmly established in the agenda of integrating developing countries into the trading system. We're not just making Sunday speeches on special and differential treatment, which is one aspect of what we have to do, but we've gone more concretely into really implementing good results which can come from trade opening into field operations. The centerpiece of this second review has been the joint OECD-WTO Aid for Trade as a glance of 2009. This publication shows that trade is now prioritized by partner countries in national development strategies, and that donors are offering more and better Aid for Trade, and that new partners are becoming engaged in South-South cooperation. Furthermore, and I want to insist once more on this, the increase in allocation to Aid for Trade has been achieved without reducing resources to other development priorities, such as health, education, or environment. Aid for Trade grew 10% per year between 2005 and 2007. And if you add to this number, which is the one on which we focus, non-concessional aid from IFIs, this figure nearly doubles in value. And on this, a message which comes from these meetings is that we probably need to refine our monitoring in understanding how Aid for Trade is working in tandem with other financial instruments, in particular those offered by the IFIs. Not all supply-side or economic infrastructure constraints can or will be addressed through what we call in our jargon Aid for Trade. We've had numerous examples of how grant financing has been blended with other financial instruments, the aid component of which is below 25% of grant element, which is the element of our definition of Aid for Trade. Now, as I said at the opening, if FX trade was urgent in 07, it's become essential today. We have to maintain the momentum, ensure that commitments are met, and this implies an ongoing role for the monitoring framework which our colleagues at the OECD are constantly refining. It also means refining the methodology and the reporting. It's a fact that the activities of South-South's partners, of which we've heard so much today, and that's great, which are growing in value and importance, are not captured in the aid for trade numbers generated by the OECD. So we need to give some attention to this as a better coordination, which is what we are trying to achieve, is difficult without better information. The three breakout sessions of this morning have highlighted the indispensable role of our regional partners through the work of the bilateral donors, regional development banks, regional economic commissions, regional economic communities. I think we've been able to make significant progress on implementation, and I remain convinced that we need to build upon the progress we've achieved in functioning the regional dimension of aid for trade, and this fits exactly with what we've heard this afternoon. This morning we also learned that aid for trade needs to factor in specificities, and this has been repeated this afternoon, for instance, those of middle-income countries and the type of financing available to them, all those of landlocked countries, of small economies, remote islands, or countries emerging out of conflict which have their own specificities. Numerous interventions from the floor have further reinforced the message which we received during the monitoring exercise, when we received nearly 90 replies from our developing country members. Developing countries are taking ownership of their own initiative. And indeed, there seems to be a pent-up demand which is finally released. And this means that aid for trade is maturing, but at the same time, we all know it's a long-term endeavor which needs to be sustained over a long term. And our partners have, I think, reacted well to the lead we've taken, and we must allow them now to define their own roles in this process and participate further. And in a way, this is a coherence in global economic policy making in action. And it must happen at three levels. A national level, through constructive dialogue between governments, their development partners. Regional level, between regional economic commissions and their member governments, with international institutions, with donors, and at multilateral level, by keeping the spotlight on aid for trade in the G8, which I will attend this week, in the G20, in the annual meetings of the bank and the fund, the annual meetings of regional development banks, and so on. So now that we have generated this momentum, we must keep our foot on the gas and agree on a common destination, which takes me to my final points, which is what next. When we met in the CTD on June 11th, I noted that we need to keep to develop a framework that will allow us to better coordinate our effort, keep mobilizing additional resources, enhance political ownership, and better prepare the way forward. And in my view, there are four very clear objectives which should inform our going forward. First, as already mentioned, and you all did that, we need to build upon the progress we've achieved in strengthening the regional dimension of aid for trade. We will rely mainly on our regional partners, including regional development banks and bilateral donors, to take the lead in evolving clear and focused aid for trade projects. We have an opportunity to advance this agenda by holding an ECOWAS 8 for Trade event sometime in the fall. I will be looking for similar opportunities in other regions. For instance, the Islamic Development Bank, the UN Economic Commission for Europe and UNDP have already agreed on a roadmap with the Economic of Central Asia. Second, I believe we need to also enhance the role and contribution of the private sector. I think yesterday's private sector session gave as much food for thought, particularly as regards the particular challenges of bringing in SMEs. It also underlined how the imperative to respond to the pressing challenge of climate change can at once be a challenge but also an opportunity to unleash investment opportunities. The same can be said for helping meet international standards as well as increasing access to energy. One suggestion which particularly resonated was that of building partnership with private foundations to tap into their resources and capacities to deliver more aid for trade. Another suggestion was to focus business involvement in a specific sector such as logistics, which obviously cut across a wide range of aid for trade activities. Third, we should continue our evaluation work with a specific focus on evaluation the impact on aid for trade. Aid for trade should develop some sort of a community of best practice. A first step in this direction is probably to inventory what is out there. The second could be to look at common frameworks. In a nutshell, we need to ensure also that we're not just measuring inputs or outputs, whichever way we devise them, but tangible outcomes. And I hold the view that as national budgets come under increasing pressure, we will need to step up our efforts to show the value of what we're doing with evidence-based reportings and outcome. And in order to move further on this, we will, as usual, rely heavily on our partners. WTO itself has neither the mandate nor the capacity nor the resources to undertake its own evaluation of aid for trade. Lastly, I believe we need to continue to actively mobilize additional resources and in particular start looking beyond OTAN. We've had reasonably clear commitments by donors up to OTAN, and they've been nicely fulfilled. We now need more clarity about the post-OTAN horizon. During these 2 days, Japan has given us cause for optimism. The commitment they've offered to $12 billion over the period 09 11 is up $2 billion to comparison with the commitment they made for 06-08. The announcement made yesterday afternoon by Minister Gareth Thomas that the UK would spend around £1 billion sterling a year over the next 3 years to enhance growth and trade in poorer countries is also an increase. The Netherlands indicated their commitment to spend at least €550 million per year on all categories of aid for trade, and we've just heard this afternoon the French delegation announcing a minimum of €850 million per year from 2010, which I heard was 50% plus as compared to their 2005 benchmark. So these announcements come on top of fulfillment of existing commitments, and of course I cannot not encourage other members to follow this lead. Mobilizing aid for trade resources will remain essential to help developing countries be prepared to better exit this crisis, including in encouraging South-South aid for trade partnerships. So these are some ideas, some numbers, which come from these 2 days of discussions. They're not entirely new, although some are. But what's more important now is to discuss them and turn them into your own work plan. And of course, I see a critical role for the CTD in ensuring our continued success. And I just want to use this occasion once more to thank in the name of all my two neighbors at this podium, in a different function, but both hard workers, and keeping in mind the final objective of this aid for trade exercise. And I think that both of them, I shouldn't, as the WTO DG, send flowers to chairs, because then you'll start wondering whether they've gone native. But let's make an exception this time. They both of them do a very good job in their various capacities. Finally, just a word on what most of you have been saying during these 2 days, which is this link with the trade side. And I'd like just to conclude to retake this mention, which was done by Minister Cham Prasit from Cambodia yesterday, when he said that aid for trade and the round are Siamese twins, and he probably knows quite well what Siamese twins means. But the important sentence was his second sentence, which is that they cannot be separated because they share one heart. And that's my conclusion. Thank you.